The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast away, good afternoon. 7 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. We'll keep you up to date with what's happening on the mountain road because of that earlier collision and the closure. TT Mountain course will be closing from later on this afternoon and evening, of course, for practicing this evening. In the meantime, if you've been driving around the island this TT, you may have seen some speed restrictions on the course and in other areas of the island. So why are they happening? I just wonder. Any thoughts on the matter? And anything else, to be quite honest, including muzzling cats and people not going for heat pumps. Any thoughts? Text, email, or call, or WhatsApp. We've got the WhatsApp working again. And Viv's on Man in Line first of all. Hi, Viv.
Good morning, Andy.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? I've had two leaflets delivered through my letterbox this morning, which I find highly offensive, and they bear no relevance to our meat-producing plant or anything here on the Isle of Man. The first one starts off by saying, meat, just the way you like it. We slit their throats while they are still alive. Their beating hearts shove out all the blood you don't want in your meat. And not all pigs, chickens, and turkeys are fully conscious and screaming when we drop them into a tank of scalding water. And it just goes on. And to my mind, there's no actual name on these leaflets at all. There is something on it about YouTube.com watch. And we've tried to have a look on there, but either the link has been taken down, or it's just not there.
Okay, so whereabouts are you, Viv? It arrived this morning, did it?
Yes, it came through my letterbox this morning. It didn't come in the post.
Right.
And I didn't see who actually put it through the letterbox.
And which part of the Isle of Man do you live at?
Up close to B&Q.
Okay, so Spring Valley, up that area, Annacombe, up there, yeah? Do you know if everybody's been getting these leaflets around there?
I assume so. If they came through one letterbox here in the street, they must have gone through everybody else. They wouldn't have picked me out as an individual, I wouldn't have thought.
So is there anything identifiable on it? Is there an organisation, or is there an address or a telephone number?
Any name? No, there's no name. And it says, find us on Facebook. And when you go on to Facebook, it says there could be a problem with this page or this link may have been deleted.
Okay. And how big is the leaflet? Is it colour, black and white? Does it look professional?
Oh, it looks very professional. There's one which is just a sheet. And the other one opens up into three, which goes on about pigs. It goes on about fishing. It goes on about chickens, how about they're destroyed if newly hatched male egg layer chicks unsuitable for either table or egg laying are waste and destroyed. Newborn male dairy calves bred to have minimum muscle are therefore unsuitable for meat and regarded as waste and are slaughtered.
Sounds like something certainly off-island, as you say, if it doesn't refer to anything on the island. And what time did you find this on the doormat this morning?
Literally about an hour ago.
Oh, I see. So somebody's going around posting them recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. As I say, I find it just highly offensive, because as far as I'm aware, our meat production here on the Isle of Man is all highly organised and regulated.
Okay, all right. Well, if anybody else has got them, then by all means, get in touch with us. If somebody wants to send us a copy of it or drop one in, it'd be interesting to see. But the fact that it's not identifiable Obviously, it's not any sort of organisation. This sounds like perhaps an individual that's doing that. And if their web links don't work, not terribly professional or good at it. Viv, thanks for that. I appreciate you alerting us to that. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
All right, 12 minutes past 12. Have you got one of these leaflets? If you've got one, if you could possibly take a photo of it, and if you want to WhatsApp it or email it to Manx Radio, then tell us all about it. The leaflets regarding standards of slaughter, it talks about, and meat and what have you, then get in touch. And if you're the person who's doing it, by all means, give us a call. Tell us what it's all about, if you would. So why have these measures been taken, these new extra speed restrictions for the Isle of Man? The Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall, explains why they're there.
Absolutely imperative, the work we do, whether it be on the TT course, the Southern course, or actually just on ordinary roads. You know, we have to make sure that the roads are of a certain standard. Yes, I think it's fair to say that the TT course and the Southern 100 course probably gets a little bit more attention than the others, but they do bring in an awful lot more money regards to tourism and things like that. Putting on any of these events, whether it's the TT or whatever, but doing it safely, you know, the last thing we want is somebody not going home. You know, there will be people that aren't happy with that. I'm not always happy with some of these things, but you have to look at it from the overall holistic picture sometimes. And at the end of the day, we want visitors and locals to be safe during these periods, as safe as possible, and if that's what we have to do, we'll look at it. And if it doesn't work for whatever reason, then we're always happy to review these things.
A lady from Onkins just dropped us a note to say they had the anti-meat leaflet a few weeks ago. It seems to be doing the round. If you want to get in touch, then by all means do. I've just watched Dr. Allinson on YouTube giving his private members bill to Tim Wool regarding assisted suicide in euthanasia. Very well put, says Teeth. Thought-provoking. Dr. Allinson has always been a strong proponent of both liberal abortions and assisted dyings. So does that cut across the Hippocratic Oath? Well, obviously Dr. Allinson doesn't think so. Thank you, T. What do you think, T? Do you think assisted dying? We didn't get your opinion. We know that you questioned Dr. Allinson, but what, T? Then what is your opinion? That's text of 476T today. Dave just said, why don't you just put the leaflets in the bin? Everybody else puts them in the bin. And good news, says Terry. This is Terry who emailed about Dr. Allinson. Good news, we're finally getting a pharmacy dispensing medical cannabis. Unfortunately, you'll need a prescription from a private medical professional. Is that fair? If you've enough money for private medical care, then you get the benefits of medicinal cannabis. If you're poor or you can't afford private medical, tough luck. Perhaps that's why the black market flourishes. Terry, you didn't tell us. Are you for or against it? And 414 says, all of Williston has had those leaflets. They're disgusting, and children seeing them when they come through the doors, they shouldn't have been allowed to post them out. Comes with junk mail. Does it come from the postman? Well, if it comes from the postman, then that will have had to be some sort of contract with the post office. We're not saying they do. If you're a postman, then tell us. But certainly, I'm sure that if you post something out, certainly with the post office, it has to be identifiable. There has to be a publisher on there. Has to be a name of somebody and an address of somebody who has authorised the printing and the content of that leaflet. But interesting, if you can get one to me, that'll be interested to see. We haven't had one here at Douglas Head. Maybe we come last on the list. Here's a message, and that just says, we had them in Alberta Drive in Onkin a month or so ago, says Al. Horrible and very offensive. I think it was saying that the dairy industry as well is in on this. It went in the bin, says Al. Thanks for that. I think there should be a 30-mile-an-hour island-wide speed limit. Thanks to many idiots, says John, texter 255. Well, we are supposed to be the home of road racing, and it was always implicit. People used to come here and go for a burn-up around the course. Have we firmly closed that door, do you think? Are you going to be heading to the pub over the long bank holiday weekend? Crack, it's 4 days. Now, some are going to have a 4-day break as the Queen, Lord of Man's Platinum Jubilee coincides with the late May bank holiday. And with the Isle of Man welcoming more TT visitors, it's likely to be a very busy weekend for pubs and the police. So, do you think the police will be on top of this, Sergeant Andrew Reed?
I'm Jeff Jockin. My wife and I own the Albert Hotel in Douglas. We have contingency in place every weekend. I mean, our weekends are busy, and we have staff on, and we have eyes everywhere if we can. Everywhere nowadays has CCTV. People are looking and very vigilant.
I'm Guy Armstrong-Rossiter. I'm the licensee of the Rovers Return. We really expect things just to go boom pretty much overnight. There's already quite a few visitors on the island, getting people coming through the doors at the moment. It's nice to see faces that we've known for years coming back in, and new faces as well. So, yeah, it's a great atmosphere.
I'm Andy Saunders. I'm the owner and proprietor of Quids Inn and the chairman of the Isle of Man Licensed Fixtures Association. We're looking forward to greeting everybody. We're looking forward to greeting our regulars and our visitors back after 2 years without TT. Everybody's mucking in to help out to make sure TT is as brilliant as it can be for everybody coming to the island.
Well, that's some of the licensed victualers members and some of the licensees. So this is what Andrew Reed, Sergeant Reed, had to say.
It's nice that the Jubilee is falling in the middle of the TT because it's you know, it adds to our festival. The only thing that we'd say is for people to take it easy, pace themselves. You know, if you're going to have a drink sensibly. Don't go mad. Know your limits and try to stick to that. And that also, again, for your riding and your driving as well. You know, don't drink and drive. Don't drug and drive. Obviously, we've got drug wipes in operation now on the island. The sun's going to be out over the bank holiday weekend, so my weather app says. And, those that are riding in levers, you know, make sure you're wearing your levers and not shorts and T-shirt and a helmet. There's nothing worse than coming off your bike. Your head's protected, but the rest of your body isn't. For us, we're looking forward to it. We're ready as the constabulary as best we can be, and we've prepped and we've put a lot of time into our planning, and we want everybody to have that a wonderful time. We think it's going to be a great party festival atmosphere, of which we are known throughout the world of policing it really, really well, and long may that continue.
Well, we keep our fingers crossed for TT and just hope that casualties are kept to a minimum and the severity of casualties is low. Hi, Andy. Was a law passed by Timbal for all these 50-mile-an-hour speed limits? If there was, it went unnoticed. But surely they can't be policed, as they're not law, says Bob. Here's a message in. A message in from David in Crosby. Hi, David. He just said, I think there ought to be an honest debate about meat production. There are people out there who do not realise that meat doesn't come pre-packaged. Now, perhaps there should be tours of the meat processing plant, especially for schools, in the same way there are tours of working farms. I'll be honest with you, David. I don't know whether you're serious about that. I've never heard of a tour of an abattoir of a meat processing plant. So I don't think there has ever been one anywhere. If anybody does know, then by all means, tell. There's a leaflet posted through letterboxes. Sounds like it's describing the way... let me see. This is why it's being posted is a mystery. I think this is the leaflet is about halal meat. Maybe that's why it's being posted. It's a mystery. 262 with that. I don't know. Perhaps it's was it describing halal or perhaps the Jewish way of dealing with slaughters. I don't know. I've counted 24 new 50-mile-an-hour roadsides. Julian, thank you. All concreted in on the 6-mile-long A36 Slock Road between Foxdale Road Junction and the top of Ballykillowy. Was this really necessary? Is it intended to be a permanent fixture? The 50-mile-an-hour temporary limits are concreted in. A message in says, who authorises... Sorry, Nigel, 915. Don't understand what you're getting at, Nigel. By all means, if you want to call in, Nigel, just tell us that. Terry says, I think I observed speed limits in certain places. The main reason I'd suggest is to save hospital beds. So please observe the TT, the limits, or one or two TT races, possibly, maybe cancelled. Regarding the messages regarding speed limits and people moaning about speed limits, says Sue, our roads are only a racetrack for the professionals, the proper riders. People don't stop going to other race meetings because they can't race around the track when it's not in use. It's our emergency services which has to scrape amateurs off the roads. That's one way of putting it, Sue. I'm not a biker, says Malcolm, but I wonder how many of our current visitors will be thinking twice about coming back when the attraction of being able to ride their bikes at high speeds is no longer available to them. Have a good weekend, says Malcolm. Thank you, Malcolm, for that. Well, I mentioned there was an implicit agreement, really. Was it implicit? Was it explicit? That people could come to the Isle of Man and have a blast around the track. It is different. It's a road racing track. It's not a racetrack anywhere. It's public roads that become suddenly 37 and three-quarter miles of racetrack. So it's got a lot of allure. We bill it as this all around the world, the road racing capital of the world, and people like to come from all over the world to go around the TT course. And let's face it, sometimes to break the speed limit. We all know that. So are we now taking that away from them and just saying, you can watch, but you can't imitate? Nigel. Hi, Nigel.
Am I Nigel?
I don't know your name, sir.
No, my name's Andy.
Oh, hi, Andy. Yes, you're on. I didn't know your name. I'm terribly sorry.
Okay, no worries. Yes, the leaflet. I've seen it before. And it's just, the leaflet is just a highlight, you know, the mass murder and cruelty to animals, which is commonplace in the meat industry, and the pushing of meat, you know, to carnivores, you know, like it's the only food there is, you know, and you get that a lot during TT week, of course, you know, with the hamburger vans and whatnot, sausages and so on. It's just to make people think that behind all that and all the cellophane, the packaging, quite often, mass murder, well, it's mass murder, isn't it? And killing of innocent animals. I'm vegetarian, by the way. I've been like that for decades. And it's just to make people think. And the woman who was offended, who first rang in, well, maybe she should have a little think about why she's offended. Because meat doesn't just come packaged. It has to be sourced. And it has to be turned from life to death. And, you know, I couldn't live with dead animal meat in my stomach. It would make me sick. Okay, that's my point, Andy.
One thing that's interesting, obviously, you've been a vegetarian for how long?
Decades.
What led you to that conclusion?
Well, it was mainly mad cow disease. Before then, I would eat hamburgers. I would think of them as synthetic. Just hamburgers. And when I was a kid, I would eat crispy bacon. But it was mainly the mad cow disease thing. And I used to live in Brighton, and that's a vegetarian city, you know. And it's a pity Douglas can't become a vegetarian city and look to the future, you know.
One question that's always asked of vegetarians, and I'm sure you've had it before, do you wear leather shoes? Do you ever wear animal products as clothes?
I must admit, you can't be perfect in every way. I've got some shoes, yeah, but I don't think the leather, they're made of leather, the Rikers. I don't think they're made of leather. It's like a suede covering on them. But I have worn leather shoes in the past, and it's an unfortunate thing. But maybe I should buy vegetarian leather, which you can get in Brighton.
Interesting.
You know?
Well, I mean, you say that meat's pushed, but certainly, I mean, in the last 10, certainly the last 5 years, plant-based alternatives, they're all over the television, Andy.
Well, they are now. It's no longer a minor thing, you know, vegetarianism. It's creeping up, and it will overtake meat in the future. I'm almost sure it will. And they're having to, and feeding all these animals as well, that costs a fortune. They eat grain, they eat wheat. And so, you know, they're helping push up the scarcity of food, plant food, which could come to us, you know. Soya as well, of course.
Well, no, it's an interesting point of view, and I note also that Ireland's got a big problem. Anybody who raises beef has got a big problem with methane gas and the problems that that causes.
Yeah, methane, yeah. The planet, you know, the global warming, yes, because they do let off, don't they, like we do.
Well, they do have five stomachs, that's why. All right, thanks for calling, Andy. Appreciate that. Let's go to, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, nobody would eat meat. That shows it's wrong, says Mark in Peel. Interesting, isn't it? The vast majority of people eat meat and animal products. A lot of people wear leather shoes. Who doesn't like jelly? Well, jelly's made of gelatin, which is an animal product. So if you're having jelly and ice cream this weekend, well, I'm sure there must be vegetarian jelly. Is there vegetarian jelly? Anyway, any thoughts on that matter? It's an interesting point of view. Claire's on now on Man in Line. Hi, Claire.
Hello, good afternoon. Just changing the subject ever so slightly to transport and our public services, the buses. I'd like to say a massive thank you to all those that are behind the scenes, the inspectors, the drivers, you know, whoever's keeping the buses tidy. They do a fab job, and I believe they're under enormous pressure at the moment. I have heard a rumour via social media today that the inspectors have been asked not to post on bus vanning on Ironman Transport online to advise people of cancellations, which I think is really disappointing at this time. And I just hope that the phone lines don't get really busy for people working in the offices to kind of keep people up to date on what services are passing and through what areas. It'd be really disappointing if they don't reinstate.
Well, we've not heard anything as to how many cancellations there have been. I wonder, is that app working? You know, the app they were talking about.
The app is working, yeah. The app is really successful, I think. It has its glitches, but what system doesn't? I think it's, you know, it's thriving given the amount of people that are using it.
Good. Okay, all right, we appreciate
that. Okay.
Thanks for calling today. A message in just said, with all this talk of euthanasia, and this is a message in from Nigel, just saying, doctors have been doing euthanasia for years. He goes on, I had two relations who had DNR written on the end of their beds. No one asked our permission, so who authorised it? I'm sure you've challenged it, did you, Nigel? DNR, do not resuscitate. I'll be honest with you, I've mentioned it in the past, you probably heard me say it, I find this a very difficult subject to talk about. It's not to say we're not going to talk about it, but I find it a very difficult subject to come to a conclusion on, whether it's assisted suicide, euthanasia, palliative sedation, the right to die, what's a dignified death. This is the fact that Dr. Allinson has been given leave to introduce a private member's bill to legalise assisted dying on the Isle of Man. However you call it, whatever you call it, it is allowing someone to die, perhaps assisting them to die. It's a heavy subject, and if you've got anything to say on the matter, then please get in touch. Tim Crookall, says Roger, forgets we've had 2 months of speed restrictions on 40 miles an hour to get the course ready. Then 10 days back to normal, then 50. It's taking the Michael. No wonder locals don't know what the speed limit is today. On Sunday, four foreign bikers had been pulled over by the police at the bottom of Pinfold Hill in Lonnon. They must have been let off by the police. Scoreboard is home 8, away 0, says G. People are having a pop at the roundels. Need to ask themselves, how many accidents have there been? Look at how much traffic they get through the junctions compared to traffic lights. Pammy says, a lot of people will hate to admit they're actually rather effective. Well, maybe you can hear the echoes of Tim Baker saying, you will get to love the roundels. You will get to love the roundels.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
If your washing machine, cooker or fridge has broken down and you need a replacement fast, just call into Pascoe's of Tramode, where you'll find a wide range of electrical goods at great prices. If you see something on display at Pascoe's of Tramode, it's guaranteed to be in stock for you to take away straight away. Or if what you want isn't in store, talk to Pascoe's and we'll do what we can to get it for you. For superb service, excellent prices and great choice, visit the island's premier electrical appliance retailer, Pascoe's of Tramode.
Your first visit. Food to get before the racing. Beers to get between the racing. Get on the inside track. Get to ShopRite. Here for racers and fans for 50 years. It's where the riders shop with stores everywhere. Unbeatable for quality, value and choice. Max fresh food. Barbecue heaven. Hundreds of beers and wines. Exclusive Sainsbury's products. And your favourite big brands too, all under one roof. We've also got pharmacies and cash machines in many stores. ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Crossroads have been providing services to local carers and people with care needs for over 30 years. As the leading provider of support for carers on the island, our services are all about improving the lives of carers and giving them a break from caring. Visit crossroadsiom.org for more information.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
I'm Dave Moore, and my guest on Perspective this week is a Manxman with an incredible tale.
My connection to the Isle of Man starts in 1911, and my crime was involved with basically covering up and hiding the fact that a person was killed. That's Charlie Manson over there. And he's like, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am?
So join me and Jamie Morgan Kane as he tells his extraordinary story on Perspective on Manx Radio this Sunday from midday, on air, and online at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Meyer, good afternoon. Thanks for dropping by today. Do you think cats are really cuddly? Do you have a cat? How cuddly do you think cats are? Did you see that story knocking around that said they're introducing cat muzzles? Do you have a cat? Could you get a muzzle on your cat? Here's Andrew now with us on Man in Line. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you and listeners. I've just been mulling something over, which was the interview done by Phil Gorn and Mr. Tim Crookall as Minister for the Department of Infrastructure. That's still available on the podcast. And it occurs to me, what is the what is it that ministers are supposed to be doing? And it's been trotted out that ministers are there for policy and direction. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And are not there to manage the department. Is that correct?
Well, it's a fine line. I mean, it was certainly what Mr. Ashford said, in that he wasn't there to deal with day-to-day personnel matters. And again, it's a fine line as to what you say is a personnel matter. So broadly, in broad terms, yes, ministers are there to fulfil the wish of Tynwald and obviously elected representatives, and the department is there to carry out those wishes.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And yet, in that interview, Phil was asking Mr. Crookall about various issues, and Tim's responding, yes, we'll get that. I mean, it came across that effectively he is now the CEO of the department, whereas the CEO interim, isn't it, a lady called Emily Curfee?
Yes, that's right.
So it begs the question, who actually is running the department? Because from the answers that Tim gave to Phil, he's running the department, which is not what it's supposed to be.
It's a different... I mean, there's a nuance in this, Andrew, in that, you know, if Tynwald decides something, and if Tynwald decides a certain, let's just say, you know, obviously they decided the promenade was going to happen, the minister is there to make sure that the department does what Tynwald wishes. Now, whether something has changed in the meantime, and whether you know, personnel have got involved in this, and people have interpreted things in different ways, that's where the waters start to get muddied, and I think this is something that Mr. Cannon has to get sorted out.
Yeah, I mean, on a recent exchange, our friend Eric in Ramsey and his Class 2 mobility scooter and the buses, I asked a question: why didn't Tinwald just instruct the Director of Transport Services, that's Mr. Ian Longworth, to allow the Class 2 mobility scooters on the buses within 3 months of the court's decision? Then, if he hadn't, he'd be in contempt. Why didn't they do that?
And I think that's where the information breaks down, in that we never knew, we don't know why. Now, it may be that there's a perfectly good reason as to why that couldn't happen. It's just that we never got told.
Well, Mr. Chris Thomas commented on the thread, "Tinwald cannot do that. But my original motion was stronger than government amendment, which had to report back with recommendations for implementation before October 2021. So the thread then says, OK, please, can't the minister instruct the director that the task needs completing by X date and that failure would be disciplinary? To which there's a like. So, from Mr. Chris Thomas. So that's the answer. A minister should be instructing people to have tasks completed by X date, a failure of which would be a disciplinary. And then the disciplinary process would kick in. And people like Mr. Longworth, who's not respecting the wishes of Tinwald and getting the job done so that Class 2 mobility scooters can be used, he can be subject to a disciplinary. And likewise, these other people in the department who've not got the jobs done, they should be tasked to do it within a set time period. If you're not capable of doing it, it's disciplinary.
Interesting, though, Andrew, remember, we pay these chief execs and we pay senior people within the civil service six figures.
Exactly.
We pay them. So, I mean, we do expect them to also act on their initiative, surely. They can't be just highly paid functionaries, can they?
Exactly. But there should be competency tests on these people. This is your job you've got to do. Have you done it within the 3 months? No, you haven't. Well, you know, here's a job. Can you do it within 3 months? Yes or no. If you can't do it, you're not up to the job.
You don't fancy writing a report, do you, Andrew? You don't fancy writing a report for government on this?
I can be engaged as a consultant, a paycheck just like any other consultant.
Good for you.
Doing a report goes nowhere. They just put it in the bin.
All right. We appreciate that. Thanks for calling us today, Andrew. All right. And Patrick's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Patrick.
Hello, Andy. Andy, you mentioned on the end of a bed, which is a very serious thing, do not resuscitate. That is the person's choice. So, really, that's nothing to do with the doctors. And I think that a doctor wouldn't dare put that on the end of a bed. So, really, I think you're exaggerating there a bit.
That was a contributor called Nigel who sent that in. He just said he'd had two relatives. Now, again, we don't know the circumstances of it. Nigel just sent the message in, said he'd had two relatives who died and had DNR on their bed. Now, he obviously didn't go into the details of what it was, but you're saying that can only be put there with the consent of the patient, or do the relatives have any say?
Well, I would suggest that if someone is not, if they cannot, what's the word? They cannot, if it's pointless going any further, the doctors would have the final say. But to say that do not resuscitate, it's a person's choice. If someone's got a bad health condition, as far as I know, because I have one relative in that situation. So to me, assisted dying is something that should definitely be brought in, because people should not die. I've seen people die in agony, and it's not nice at all. It's not until these people who make decisions see someone dying in agony, then they would say, yes, assisted dying is essential, without any shadow of a doubt.
And I'm always more than happy to take opinion on this, as you say, because it's something you have to witness, something you have to experience to really know, you know, how you feel about it, Patrick.
Yes, yes. I've seen several people now, friends of family and family members. It's just horrible. I'm 73 now, and if I am of a terminal condition, I do not want someone to make a decision for me. I want to go when I'm ready to go.
Patrick, are you absolutely certain about that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if I can't make the decision now, well, I've got my compass mentis about me. What's it going to be like when I'm struggling with cancer or whatever it is I've got? You know, if you've got terminal ill, the doctor agrees you are terminally ill, you should have the choice. And if the Isle of Man goes along the right route, we will be well respected around the world.
Okay. I appreciate your candid opinion, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem.
All right, here's Eddie with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, are you all right?
Good, thanks, Eddie. What's on your mind?
I believe you've got the swimming pool back on the chat again.
Oh, the southern swimming pool.
Yeah, yeah. Find it ludicrous that anybody thinks about closing it before we've got another one in place. But something that's cropped up really amazes me. It being that one of the reasons, the main reason, I believe, for bring it back up again to close it, is you have two people on long-term sickness and two people who are off with pregnancy. Now, what strikes me as funny is I wonder if that happened in every department in the government, would they all shut down? It's a ludicrous excuse to try and close the pool, I think. You can't sort of say, oh, she's pregnant, and that's it, she's costing us money, or that person's on long-term sickness, you know, through something. Those are all already accounted for in every department and every business that's going, isn't it?
Surely nobody's thinking of closing the Southern Pool.
Oh, yes, they are, yeah. I mean, you ask all the people at work there, they're all... They don't know whether they're coming or going. They've been told that they might be out of a job next week.
I can understand rumour. I can understand Manx Keep, but surely nobody would think of just closing the pool down. There are too many people that rely on it, Eddie.
Well, you just watch this space with it, really. I think what's happening, a lot of it, is there's certain people who are in favour of the new pool, which is going to be built at King William's College. Right?
But that won't be anything. I mean, that's going to be a competition pool. That's for people who want to get up to competition standards. It won't be a leisure pool. It won't be for... I mean, there may be a public access to it, but it's not going to be a fun pool like the one in Castletown, by Castle Russian High School.
Yeah, well, what you've just said, think about it. If we even thought about closing that one, where would everybody go that goes there now? Right? You've got swimming clubs, you've got scuba diving, you've got Discover Diving, Michelle, you've got the canoeing people, all these things, and of course teaching swimming. Everything that you look at really is something which is, to my opinion, is essential for anybody who lives surrounded by water, right? We've taught all our grandkids to swim. I dread to think if we hadn't, the amount of deaths that would have been through drowning around the Isle of Man.
That's a very important point, Eddie, the fact that we are surrounded by water. I mean, you know, children should learn to swim just in case.
But right from the minute go, Andy... It has always been known that swimming pools are there for all the authorities to teach swimming. They're not money-making machines. They are automatically something that is going to cost the taxpayer for the safety of their kids to learn how to swim and everything else that goes with it. You know what I mean? It's just common sense. So to even think about closing it until there's another one in its place... And not a private one like the one at King William's will be. That's, you know, it's ludicrous. The other thing that people say, what about if it does close, everybody will have to go to NSC or whatever? What about your carbon footprint? I mean, I'm not a big thing in that, but people do. You've got the Green Party moaning about everything, but that would happen immediately. The other thing is, because of the amount of people that use this pool, where would they be accommodated? They'd be overrun at the NSC and Peel and Ramsey.
Okay, Eddie,
you've got to have a pool down here.
That's an important point. Thanks for that, Eddie. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Pleasure.
All right, it's 14 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Yeah, the concept of a swimming pool making a profit is alien. Swimming pools very rarely make money. They're a public facility. They're like a park. They will make usually a loss. Barbara Brayton was on yesterday saying the refreshment facility, the cafe at the Southern Pool, loses £30,000 a year, £900 a week. What's that roughly? Couple of £150 a day it will lose. Maybe somebody can make a go of it. You never know. Clayhead Road in Bold Drine is currently blocked. There's been a road traffic collision. Clayhead Road in Bold Drine is blocked. And Eric's with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick one in response to Andrew that was talking. He's absolutely right that Ian Longworth should be told to implement the agreement that there is in England, because if a bus can be sold off the Isle of Man to an English company and the next day it's running around carrying mobility scooters, then there's nothing needs doing to the buses. So he should just be told, and that's an end to it. But the main thing I come on about today is about Mr. Boot and Mr. Perkins. And they want to claim the 6 months' pay for losing their seats. Well, they've got short memories, because in 2019, they were members of Tynwald who passed the bill for their wages and conditions. And what they passed said that if you're over 60, you don't get the 6 month pay. So how can they now be talking against it when they voted for it? And I've looked, and they didn't vote against it. They voted for it.
And presumably they're saying they want equal rights.
Well, yeah, they may have a case under ageism, but all I can say is when I lost my leg, I was working for the government. Nobody gave me 6 months pay when I had to pack in work. You know, it wasn't there for me, so why should they get it? They lost their jobs by being useless. You know, and I would say that Geoffrey Boot knew he was going to lose that election. Everybody else knew he was going to lose it, so did he only stand so he could get the 6 months pay?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, it's 11 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Well, I just put out, I think Mr. Boot and Mr. Perkins lost their seats because more people voted for other people. I don't want to discern anybody's motives or cast any aspersions. It was a simple fact. It was a democratic process. That's what happened.
In this world, there's nothing more valuable than knowledge. So stay up to date with what's happening on the Isle of Man with Manx Radio's update. Compiled from the resources of our 7-day-a-week newsroom, the biggest newsroom on the island. It's accurate, it's to the point, it's the Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update with Andy Wint. This evening at 5:30, on your smart speaker, on air, online, or subscribe to our podcast at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Eddie's back. Eddie, you've got some more news.
Yeah, I forgot to say, Andy, one of the main points I wanted to talk about was when you had, is it Barbara Brereton on yesterday?
Yes.
She was saying that the cafeteria part was losing over £30,000. Well, what everybody seems to forget is not long ago that it was actually stated that the cafeteria part is the only part that was ticking over or even making money. And I actually think that what she's done is added the figures in of those people who are sick, which is not true. It's not a true reading, is it? The cafeteria is ticking over. So that was what I meant to say earlier.
Okay, well, I mean, we don't know because we haven't seen the exact figures, but I think her point yesterday was, I don't want to speak for Barbara, but she did allude to the fact that obviously Julie Edge had said that the department, the DESC, was going to contribute to the upkeep or the running of the pools, and there was meant to be a report coming out, but the report is nowhere in sight. So obviously the local authorities are running the pools. But I mean, there's also the point that heating costs are going to go up, so the pools will be facing bigger and bigger costs. But you know, but they are a public facility. Those pools are a facility for people.
And perhaps you could come on and clear it for us that money is not including the sickness people.
Okay. Well, we'll try and get to the bottom of that. Okay, Eddie.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Ian dropped a note in, just said, I'm happy to eat more vegetarian options these days, but I've no intention of giving up meat and thankfully haven't received one of those distasteful leaflets through the letterbox. If people wish to express their views, they should make it quite clear on the literature who they are. That's right. Well, actually, I think it may be slightly against the law to post things out like that or without saying who you are and an address at which you can be contacted and not just a non-functional email address. I've seen concreted signs on the slock as well. Strange thing is, the round table to Colby Road has any speed you like. Surely that's just as dangerous a road as the others, says JK. The police have already explained this. These limits are only in certain places. It's been like it for years, says Texter 706. Yes. So why are the signs in concrete then? And a message is a caller who wants all the island's limits should move to Jersey. They have an all-island 40-mile-an-hour speed limit already. They're living on the wrong island. Move to Jersey and enjoy the bliss every day, says Simon. Well, you do get the point, though, that Jersey's about 3 miles one way and 4 miles the other. So the speed limit on Jersey is fairly self-limiting. Is it true about... Have you seen this story about cats and muzzles? Pet cats are on the edge of... on the edge of natural areas, kill an average of 34 animals a year. Do you have a cat? How many animals does your cat kill? How many times does your cat bring something in that is no longer here, you know, living? The abundance of mammals in natural areas mean cats in these areas are more very prolific killers. Pets in suburbs, well, this is a story that came from across, but they may be killing 270 million animals a year in the UK. Suburban cats living on the edge of a natural area kill 34 animals a year, a little less than one a week. Those living in suburbs, surrounded by other houses and further from natural habitats, get 15 a year. In terms of types, the birds kill robins more than anything else, and blackbirds as well. Wearing a bell is no deterrent. Cats actually bring home most prey, the study found. Isn't that interesting? Do you find that? Do you have a cat? Or do you know of a cat in your area that is partial to killing stuff? I don't want to draw any false equivalents with the meat leaflets that are going round, but it is the natural world, isn't it? Was Andy dropping the leaflets, the guy who called? The leaflets are not true to the Isle of Man. Perhaps vegetarians and vegans need to do some research. I'm fed up of having the vegan fag forced down my throat, says Texter 735. Well, it's a free world. Vegans, vegetarians, pescatarians, meat eaters, everybody can come on Man in Line. Another message in that just says, I'm sitting here enjoying a bacon and sausage bap, says Dave. And you have a right to enjoy a bacon and sausage bap. We're just trying to get to the bottom of who has introduced these anti-meat leaflets. Who's put them together? And more to the point, why have they put them together? Why have they decided? I mean, if it's you, by the way, pick up the phone. We'd love to talk to you. To see what's going on. A message in just said, the caller said he preferred Douglas to be a vegetarian town like Brighton. Well, he should go to Brighton, says Paul. A vegetarian that wears leather shoes, perhaps, is that a joke? If you read certain news channels, there won't be any beef or lamb produced within the next 10 to 15 years due to the climate change bill that the UK are trying to push through, also trying to close nearly all airports in the UK by 2040. This has been on the cards since 2019, says Paul. I don't know, Paul. I'd put hazard a guess that we'll still be flying in the next 10, 20 years, don't you think? Meat forever, says Kath. I don't want to start a fight where this is concerned. Everybody is free. I'm very liberal where this is concerned. You can be vegetarian, pescatarian, vegan, whatever you want to be, fruitarian. You mentioned the methane from cattle, says Brett. I've just read an article in the Reader's Digest about feeding a very low percentage of red seaweed to cows, which reduces methane emission by 98%. Reader's Digest, just put in red seaweed, Reader's Digest, methane emission. The mind boggles. Thank you for that. What about the poor plant that gets killed to provide a burger that tastes like meat? Just a thought. And further to your caller regarding the buses, I travel from the south to Douglas, nice and clean and comfortable. On my return, a gaggle of children exited, leaving the bus strewn with litter. They should say there should be a fine for litter. G said the course is overgrown and inaccessible to spectators, the TT course, and it'll dissuade future spectator numbers. Foggy versus Hizzy, four deep around the course. Well, we'll say it was Rob Callister who said that numbers are going to be down on 2019, but weren't they always going to be down on 2019? It was building very, very nicely. So we'll see. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Course closes from 4:45 at Barul Park, 5 o'clock the bungalow, 6 the rest of the course. That's it. Have a wonderful Platinum Jubilee Bank Holiday weekend back on Monday. And thanks to Barry producing today.